Go ahead and turn, if you would, please, to Matthew chapter 5. You should have a note sheet in your bulletin. And let's turn to Matthew 5 and verses 10 through 12 here in just a moment. I've titled this message, "The Holy Harassed?" Like, why would the holy be harassed? If they're walking with God, they're sweet, if they're peacemakers, if they're loving, if they're the things that we see in the Beatitudes, why would they be harassed? That doesn't seem to match our justice of our day. Well, what is so bad with being humble, repentant, self-controlled, desiring God full with hungering and thirsting for Him, being merciful, peacemaking, righteous, loving believer? Why? Because you're too unlike the world. If you show the genuine repentance of the Beatitudes, if that is the character which is being instilled in you from a genuine faith that has trusted the Messiah. Remember, our context is faced against the self-righteousness of the Pharisees. And Jesus has been preaching in chapter 3 with John the Baptist, and in chapter 4, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And as this message just keeps on coming out, Jesus hits right at the heart of self-righteousness, and that it has no part in genuine faith. Countries we have seen around the world are persecuting. We're talking about the harassed. Today, Jesus is going to tell us, blessed are the persecuted. As I've been studying this and trying to find out a little bit of information, I went to opendoorsusa.org. And this was posted January 13th of 2022. And did you realize that 1 out of 8 people are persecuted? The problem is, because we don't experience physical persecution like believers do in other parts of the world, we often think persecution is someone saying a snide remark or something of that nature. That is persecution, but it's not the same level of what all we're going to be talking about. Jesus is going to use 3 different words in our passage, 10 through 12, and we're going to look at each one of those, one of them being physical persecution. The top 10 countries around the world, number 1 ranks North Korea. Unfortunately, with the horrible, horrible persecution there, if you are discovered to be a Christian, it is an instant death sentence. Or sometimes, if you aren't instantly killed, you're sent to an inhumane labor camp. Currently, it is believed that there are 50 to 70,000 Christians in labor camps in North Korea. Meanwhile, the gospel is still saving North Koreans. Do you realize that there are still 300 to 500,000 believers underground who say, I don't care if I could lose my life. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That is the hope of the believer. And we'll find out through the entire history of the church. Tertullian said back in the early centuries of the church, he said that the blood of the saints is the seed of the church. It has been proven throughout every century. Afghanistan is the number 2 nation in the world right now, ranked for persecution against Christians. To be a Christian is also a death warrant there. Muslims are to kill or disown their own family members that convert to Christianity. 3, Somalia. Muslims blame the COVID-19 pandemic on Christians, that it was their fault that it came in. So Al-Shabaab target Muslims who have converted to Christ, often execute believers on the spot who are discovered. You can check Voice of the Martyrs and other things. I have personally been in other countries where I will find an N over top of a doorway. And it's because if you are a Christian, you're a marked man because you are a follower of the Nazarene, another name for Jesus. And the Muslims will target you and put a giant N over the top of your door so that everyone knows you're the dishonored infidel who's around. as you think on this, Liberia is next, number four. Number five is Pakistan. The next country I don't know how to pronounce, but Eritrea, E-R-I-T-R-E-A, Yemen, then Iran, Nigeria. Violence against Christian by Boko Haram, Fulani, and the Islamic State, West Africa, is a heavily, heavily persecuted. India then ranks the next on the list. The Hindu Nationalist Party has been very violent. We have lost all kinds of missionary opportunities in India, and several mission agencies have been kicked out of India in the last few years. Things that are doing compassion work and orphanages and helping save physical lives. Why would you throw them out? Because there's a war on, Christian. You and I do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and princes, the Bible says. And I'm misquoting, so I need to turn there. So I'm going to turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Behind the world scene and actors, there are on puppet strings, if you would, the temptation and the tempter behind them. And we see that there's a whole host involved in such activities. We also can see China, Myanmar, Burma, that is, Syria, and Vietnam also on the top 10 list of those who are persecuting Christians around the world. We look at this, and I want us to read Jesus' words. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Here, as we come into this, China is now using cameras. I saw video footage of cameras pointed in multiple directions in state government-run churches, and they're picking up facial recognition so that they can pick out Christians in the workplace. The tide has been turning against Christianity heavily again for the last 10 years. The amount of work that's being done over there has been greatly restricted. And the 20th century has been possibly the bloodiest century of all centuries, and possibly may equal all previous centuries, the amount of Christians who have been killed. Church of England has the most conservative number of 105,000 who have died for their faith in Christ, not other religions, for Christianity. That's the conservative number. The high numbers are 150,000. All agree 100,000 is the base number. When you think of the millions that Stalin and Mao had murdered throughout Christianity, several of our missionaries back in the 1930s and 40s were running from their lives as remember, at one time, China was democratic and had religious freedom. But when the tide turned from the communists, by 1949, they were ran out and run into Taiwan. But numbers of missionaries, like the Blacks and others, the Blacks are the name of a missionary family, they fled for their life and they were executed. And numerous Christians were executed for their faith. Christians, foreign Christians, and the like, and re-educated at camps. I look on and just see some things that to consider. 340 million Christians live in heavily persecuted regions of the world. That's that one out of eight. As we come into this, so how does God want us? How does God want you to face possible persecution? How are we to view it? How are we to understand it? Today, as this is my challenge, as you have on your sheet, the proposition is this: God wants believers to be persecuted for the right reason and to maintain the right focus. Those are two instrumental things that Jesus is going to teach through these three different types of persecution. We also, as we think on this, our first point is this. Persecution needs to be, one, a normal expectation for following the righteous causes of Christ. It should be a normal expectation. You know, in 2 Timothy, which is I'm going to pull up here in just a moment, 2 Timothy 3:12, Paul promises us this. Yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Philippians 1:29, Paul said this, For to you it has been granted on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His name's sake. Well, we might wonder, how does persecution come? What does it look like? Well, in your Bibles, look in verse 11. Verse 11, it says, blessed are you, and the you there is plural. It's not just an individual. He's speaking to the to those who will be believers in Him, who will follow Him. When they revile you. The word revile, it says revile and persecute you. Let's look at that first word, revile. The word revile here, some will revile you. That means to reproach you. To reproach, to revile, to heap insults upon, BDAG says. That's a Greek dictionary. Literally, it's to cast one's teeth at. And it's an ugly picture, but it's like a snarling aspect. This carries the idea of a snarling insult, harassment thrown in your face. Remember, what did our Savior have happen to Him while He hung on the cross? They insulted, they reviled Him, Peter said. Who, when He was reviled, reviled not again? Who, while He was on the cross, they blasphemed Him, Luke says. They mocked Him. They dragged the name of the Messiah in the mud. And they degraded Him. And both thieves, both men on the cross who were on His sides, both blasphemed Him at the beginning, as well as those who played games with Him and the jeering of those who hated Him there in the crowds. Well, never forget, when someone mocks you or harasses you, you're entering into the same fellowship of your Savior who did the same for you. Never forget Jesus suffered, and never ever think that you've suffered more than Him. Just rest in that. You know, from verse 11, we see the persecution spoken of here is twofold. One, it involves physically pursuing of the persecuted. That will be our next word, persecuted. And the second is personal attacks of slander against them. Ed Heinzen well said in his commentary. You see, when we experience reviling, it has the idea here sometimes of ostracism. And that's what it looks like sometimes. It looks like innuendos. Sometimes it's the hush-hush whisper in the room of people who are talking against you. Now, we need to keep in mind there is a condition here. It's not just that it's against you, but we're going to find out another detail that's essential for it to even qualify as persecution. Our next word is some will persecute you. The word persecute you is they physically will come after you. It has the idea of the word to come after you. It, as most dictionaries render this, the root idea is to pursue or chase. A good translation, R. Kent Hughes said, is to harass. Blessed are the harassed. I'm like, oh, I didn't think I signed up for that one, Pastor. Did you have a nicer message? Could this one kind of like change a little bit? But we have to face reality. One of the problems in our age of the prosperity gospel is that people want to be told things that itch their ears, the Bible says. They want to be told things that are rosy. But we need to say, no, Jesus warned Paul said, all they that live godly will suffer persecution. We're going to see what Jesus says over in John 15 and 16 in just a moment, as He repeatedly warned His disciples, this will come. You know, if you're an ostrich and you put your head in the sand, when a car is coming your way, Should you be surprised that you're roadkill? No. You should have some realization, oh, maybe I shouldn't have put my head down there. Maybe I should have done something with my head. And we need to be mindful of this. David Jeremiah said this, Cain killed Abel because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Joseph was persecuted because his father loved him. Moses was reviled. Samuel was rejected, the prophet. Elijah despised. Nehemiah oppressed. Jesus, the faithful witness of his father, was put to death by people to whom he came to minister. Stephen was stoned for speaking the truth. John and Peter were cast into prison. James was beheaded for preaching the good news of the kingdom. Every one of the apostles was martyred for his faith except for John, who was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. Why did God allow people to suffer such persecution? Because they were doing right. Because they owned his cause. Because they knew him as Savior. As we think about this, persecution is not this. You know, sometimes we as Christians have too thin a skin. Come Christmas time, people say, Happy Holidays. Don't throw a fit. That's not persecution. It's, you know, it's part of our culture. We're moving more and more into a pagan culture that's going to be further and further removed from Christianity. But that's okay. Because the further we get away from some of the hypocrisy in Christianity, maybe the greater the light will be to shine into lives. I think it's an exciting time that we're living in. I anticipate within the next 20 to 30 years that we're going to see about 20 or 30% of all the churches that exist will be gone. I think funds are just about dried up. We're seeing dead denominations and liturgical ones that do not know Jesus as Savior any longer. Do not preach it. Do not believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ. They don't believe in the inspiration of Scripture. I forecast that the day is coming that many of them will close. Many of them will stay open. And they'll just work to be the puppet of Antichrist. Now, I don't want to undermine the work of Satan, because he delights in using false religion. And he is a minister of light in such, as 2 Corinthians 12 tells us. Well, this persecution, the word that we have here, to harass, to chase, it looks like, as one of our missionaries has reported to us, well, and I can't say his name because of his country that he's in, but has been chased by lead pipes by men, has had received numerous death threats and other gross things that that others threaten to do against his children and his wife. It looks like a grenade tossed down the aisle of a church in numerous countries around the world. It looks like nasty violence. Why? Simply because they're Christians. Some will say, look in your Bibles. What are they saying? Well, verse 11, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. That there's two key elements there. One, this is no good unless it's false info. And then two, it's got to be for Jesus' sake. It's not for mine. There's some awfully proud Christians who will witness and be bold and brash and will get in people's face with unethical means of sharing the gospel in a condemning, ungracious, and evil way. And what happens? They become rejected. No, you invited that. If you're going to be rude, brash, harsh, obnoxious with people, you're inviting ridicule. Remember, Jesus warns us, do not add to the stumbling block of Christ. Christ is enough of a stumbling block. Let him be the stumbling block. You share the gospel, but keep it as sweet as it's gracious. Keep the death of Christ and this being a free gift, plus nothing you can do. And that God so loved the world, and that but God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, helpless, he died for you. We want to share that with the urgency, the passion, the love of Christ. And may the love of Christ compel us to share that message. Without the love of Christ compelling us, you and I can easily creep into falsely being persecuted. We want to be ones for, or not falsely, of not being false, of genuine deserved, I should reverse those words, genuinely deserving things. You know, why does he say against you falsely? Because God's not interested in blessing. What does the word blessed for mean? Approved. Approved. Many translations will use the word happy. It's okay. It actually lines up with the lexicons, but it's a little insufficient. It really carries happy and approved, are you? God says, you get my approval for suffering for me. This disclaimer is though, if it's falsely against you for my sake. God is not interested in rewarding fanaticism. He's not interested in us being foolish. Sometimes Christians will do flat-out stupid things to get people's attention. They will use illegal and ungodly ways to witness and then wonder why they're made fun of for being hypocrites. We need to be ones. For instance, carrying in a beer keg into a college campus to get everybody's attention, there might be something wrong with that. There have been Christians who have done immodest and unethical ways to get men's attention to share the gospel. That's ungodly. It's stupid. There's harsh ways that we can share. Those things have to be turned away from as and all the like. There's sometimes people are just... Sometimes I find people trying to pick a fight. Christian, your job is not to debate people into heaven. You can't. Unless the Father draws them, none will come to me. You need the Spirit of God to be working. And if you are adding to the stumbling block, shame on you. The persecution you get is deserved. Peter warns us, and Peter's a great book on persecution. He says, make sure that when you're persecuted, it's for doing good. Well, the world says, if you're persecuted, make sure you're legitimately in the wrong, in the red. A Christian ethic says, make sure that you're innocent and glorify Him. We're going to see the ending of this. Be exceedingly glad. Your rejoicing is, I can be made fun of. I can be called a holy Joe. I've had a few people say that. I've had people that said, yeah, Johnny, this is going back a few years ago, Johnny, he really let me know that I'm going to hell. And I actually never mentioned hell. It was a deduction that he made. And there was a whole, that was the nice side of the conversation. There were a lot of other things and language that went along with it. Pretty rough farmers that I witnessed 2 years ago. You know, Swindoll said this. Oh, actually, before Swindoll's quote, I want to say something. Why does the world become so hostile? Because you serve a different master. You serve a different value system. You live with a different... You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You see, this was a problem in the first century too. In first century Rome, it was said of Christians that they are haters of humanity. Why? Because they wouldn't join us in our celebrations to Zeus. Because they wouldn't get involved in our orgies. Because they wouldn't watch the gladiator fights. Christians absolutely refused to go to those. Why? Because it was Christians that were being slain. And the Bible says that we should take no glory in violence. God destroyed the ancient world because there was much violence in the earth. And Christians like, we're not going to be a part of this gore fest. Especially knowing that it's our brothers and sisters in Christ. And they would do it to old men like Polycarp. You can read the Fox's Book of Martyrs and numerous accounts of Christians who have been killed for their faith and who, like a stalwart, remained steadfast in their Lord. Swindoll said this, "The kingdoms of this world grow weary of righteousness and seek to have it labeled as narrow, outdated, bigoted, and even hateful. Christ assures us that the kingdom of heaven belongs to the righteous. That is, God is on their side, even when the world isn't." You know, on the radio a few years ago, there was a politician that belonged to a certain cult that denied the eternal existence of Jesus Christ. and claim that he was a brother of Jesus, or Satan was the brother of Jesus, and that you and I could be gods too. And someone called into the radio host and said, and this was local Sioux City radio, said, but this guy, he does belong to a cult. And that host came unglued. He called him the most intolerant bigot, and oh, I heard the word bigot so many times, and I turned it off. You know, I'm finding, regardless of what aisle you happen to be on, if you know Jesus as Savior, there is no tolerance for an exclusive Christ. Yet Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Acts 4:12, Peter's going to preach, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name given under heaven among men whereby you must be saved. Amen. There's an exclusiveness. We are narrow-minded, but they are too. The problem is, there is no tolerance for anything outside of their own view. You and I need to be understanding, not looking down our bony noses like, why don't you guys have your act together? It's not, we do not ever want to pit ourselves against them, because you will add to the stumbling block of Christ, and it will be your flesh and your sins. You know, someone mentioned this, and let's see, moving on. Narrow-minded, a hater, intolerant. If you're pro-life, you're a hater. If you believe in biblical marriage between one man and one woman for life, you're a hater. If you're pro-responsibility, you're a hater. If you believe in a literal hell for sinners, you're a hater. If you tell them about a beloved Christ who wants to save them and rescue them, you're a hater, you're intolerant. If you believe in a literal six-day creation, you're dumb. You believe in a flat earth. Why do they go to a flat earth? Seriously. You don't want to know why? Because to be able to make a case, people often demonize their opponent. Don't be surprised. And remember, Satan is called the accuser of the brethren, the slanderer. Never, never forget the one who's behind this. Always bleed with compassion for the lost. Compel them in the highways and the byways of life to come in, that they may know Jesus. Well, as we think also, people, as they often get demonized, we need to be ones that remember this. 1 Peter chapter... Oh, I forgot to give you these little bullets. But 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 13. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fire trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. And 1 Peter 3:14. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed, you're approved. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. These are good. Jesus is going to tell His disciples, lo, I'm with you always, to even to the end of the age. You and I take away from our God, don't be troubled by this. Don't be surprised. This is a normal experience for every Christian. Sweetly expect harassment for your faith. Make sure that you're persecuted for the gospel, for the love of Christ, and not for being weird, brash, or eccentric. We can all do that, including me. And so we want to avoid that. Persecution needs to be number two for the right person. Only Jesus are we to worship in this suffering. Verse 10, it says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Down at the end of verse 12, for my sake. Jesus is the focus. If we don't do this for Jesus, I've seen some ugly Christianity before. I've seen it where literally guys come with their chest puffed out and they open their Bible and they show how many people they've led to Christ and they brag about it. And how many they've baptized and how many they've done. You know what? If it's about Jesus, why are you bragging about you? We need to make sure that we are never the focus, but Jesus is. The same men said, yeah, I had a guy picking a fight with him. He almost threw fists. I put mine up and I decked him. I'm like, what are you doing? Who when reviled not again? That's what Jesus did. He told us to turn the other cheek. Are you about the gospel or about you? We live in a world that defends themselves to the utter extreme. And Jesus says, you will be persecuted, not falsely, but correctly for that kind of shenanigans. Well, I also want to think, John 15. Turn over there. John chapter 15. Jesus shares this. John 15. In verse 18 through 21, if the world hates you, he tells his disciple, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you're not of this world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. Jesus explains it very clearly. They don't know me. They don't serve the same master. And they're going to hate you because they hated me first. It's consistent. This is the bill of goods you have been given. Chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. These things I've spoken to you, Jesus goes on, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. Rewards in heaven, things of that nature. There's those that believe that there's a whole host of immoral rewards. And one whole religion is based on that. Verse 3, and these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I do not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. Here in our passages, we can clearly keep this in mind. It's for my name's sake. It's about Jesus, not ourselves. We are to make sure we suffer for good and not for our sin, 1 Peter tells us. If we are to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, as Jesus taught in Matthew, we will need to make sure that we are not being fanatical or a nuisance. The love of Christ and the gospel must be what compels and motivates us more than good things and causes. Jesus must be our first love. We do ask for boldness. God, would you give me open doors that I can tell others about Jesus? God, would you give me freedom? Paul prays that at the end of spiritual warfare, pray that the door of witness would be given to me, that I might have boldness to speak the mysteries of Christ. Well, one thing, you know, there was a bulldog walking down the street with his owner. He had him on a leash. And this little yippy dog come along and just bark, 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 bark. He looked like he was going to tear into that bulldog. Bulldog never gave him a time of day. He just kept on going. You know, the world can bark at us a lot. Stay focused, Christian. No, it's expected. No, there's going to be a lot of yipping out there. Keep your eyes on Christ, not on things of this world. Our third point, persecution needs to be 3, lived with a heart fixed on rejoicing in the believer's hope to come. This is rich. Here in our passage, end of verse 10, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Remember verse 3, this was the same introduction. Twice we see this as the reward of the Beatitude. Of genuine, true, repentant faith, transformed living, away from self-righteousness, since for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Both those who are poor in spirit, those who are contrite and broken before Him, and those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. We also see that verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Do you remember in Hebrews chapter 11 how it says They cut Isaiah, well, he doesn't mention Isaiah, but they cut some of the prophets in half. They stoned them. They killed them. They fed them to the lions. And what does God say? Of whom the world was not worthy. But they look for a city whose builder and maker is God. There is a reward, believer. Do we believe that heaven is better than earth? Do we believe that the rewards that Jesus gives are of more everlasting value than the temporal, expedient moment that I'm living in? I love 2 Corinthians. We'll get there in just a moment. But Philippians 1:29. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His name's sake. And chapter 3, verse 20, you could see that our citizenship is not on earth, but in heaven. 2 Corinthians 4:17 through 18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal, everlasting. And we fix our eyes on Christ. We share the whole truth, the whole counsel of God, not just the nice parts of the Bible. We're fixed on Jesus and all He's done. We need to be ones that learn the joy of the Lord. One Romanian pastor describes how when he was in prison and tortured mercilessly and yet experienced joy. Locked in solitary confinement, he had been summoned by his captors who cut chunks of flesh from his body and then returned to his cell where he was starved. Yet in the midst of all this going on, there were times when the joy of Christ was so overcame that he would pull himself up and shuffle around in the cell with a holy joy, just thanking the Lord for all He has done. When he was released, he fasted the first day, thanking God for all the joy that God had given him. We struggle to think that you can count it all joy because we're too married to the moment. We're too married to the pain. We in America have every painkiller under the sun because we believe the biggest evil in this world is to be pained. And Jesus says, no, the biggest pain is to be temporal-minded. Get your eyes on Christ. Think on this at the end. They're blessed. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Great is their reward. Philippians 3:20 through 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. It identifies us with the prophets of old. He's like, you line right up with the heroes of the faith. And that's Hebrews chapter 11 very clearly. Why trade eternal reward from our Savior for the temporally approved compromises and kickbacks of those who are alienated and enemies of God? It just doesn't seem to really make sense if we really think about it in that way. We need to be joyfully content to be approved by God alone. Beware of the bragging rights that you suffered for Jesus. When we brag, God says your bragging will be your only reward. Do you remember Jesus said, you have your reward. Let another man praise you. Don't let it be about you. Because you just negated His desire to reward you for heaven. Pride will often pit us against people. I love this thought. You and I need to be careful because when we fill ourselves and think we're all everything, everybody around us is going to sense it too. And when you feel hurt and you hold on to anger and hurts, you know what you'll do? You'll be pitted against those around you. Because all of a sudden you've created, if you would, a fight by your pride. And pride naturally defends itself. Defensiveness is always pride. I think I can say always. It's pretty close to always if it's not. So I'll move on. Gossiping about how badly we have been hurt harms our witness and reward as well. It just It turns it into a circuit of vicious sin. You will suffer for bad, not for good, if you're involved in gossip. Because confessing anybody else's sin to those who are not part of the resolution is sin. Let's pray. Lord God, if I were to close with a song today, I would like it to be stand up for Jesus. Lord, help us to be ones that stand for you out of love for you. I also think of the song, Channels Only. Oh, make me a servant, humble and true. Meek, help me to look more like you, Father. Lord, would you please help me to put on the meekness and gentleness of Christ, strength under control, love and compassion, mercy for the lost, a compassion for those I witness to, and not a self-righteousness that puffs up. Oh Lord, grow us in humility, every one of us. Please help me, Lord, not to be so proud. Help me not to be defensive or fighty or flighty or any of those things, Lord. Help me, Lord, to be diligent, to look more like you, and help all of us, Father, to look more like Jesus, because he has told us this in his word, that blessed are the persecuted, the harassed, the reviled, those who say all manner of evil against us. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless, and may you have a fruitful week and a Christ-focused week.